Hi, I'm Lee Chantel from VivaLaVegan.net, and with me today is Chris. He's a vegan from Brisbane who is now living in Japan. You may also know him as CJ. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
And Chris and I this year are going to do some podcasts for you. So if you can think of a better... What name are we going to have?
No, we don't have a name yet, but maybe we could just leave it unnamed.
Unnamed? Okay.
Yeah. But not call it unnamed.
No.
But, you know... It doesn't necessarily have to have a name. Let's not put labels on things.
Okay, that's fair. And Chris and I have known each other for quite a while. At least 5 years, I would say.
Yeah, at least five. See, I thought it was 10 before, but then, that's...
Because it was around that Greenwash Festival where we met, I'm sure.
Was it actually called Greenwash?
No, it was called something else, but I can't remember what it was called.
You having a dig at it?
Well, maybe I am, actually, because I do have a problem with environmental festivals calling themselves environmental and then selling non-vegan stuff and stuff.
What about plastic bottles?
And, plastic bottles.
That pissed me off. They sold, like, Coca-Cola products.
And other businesses there were not green or environmental. They just wanted to be there to look green. So that does annoy me a bit. Yes, it does.
Yeah. But, you know, I think greenwashing is better than not greenwashing, you know?
So what would not greenwashing be?
You know, like people that are actively avoiding the whole idea of, not just climate change, but, you know, the environment isn't an important part of our ecosystem.
Yeah, that's true, definitely.
Trying to separate themselves from being outside the system.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think your government right there in Queensland at the moment is trying to do that with, you know, definitely trying to put ports in silly places and roads I saw yesterday in really silly places on the outside of the Great Dividing Range where something like 7% of the Queensland population live.
Oh, that's really helpful, isn't it?
Yeah, and I gather it won't be a toll road. It'll be paid for by, you know, the consumer.
We do like toll roads here, though.
Yeah, but the toll roads are in places where people want to use them.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tolls are just too expensive. Like, they won't put a toll road somewhere because, you know, like that 7% might be the 7% they need to get them over the line, you know, election. So it's kind of, it's called pork barreling where, you know, you kind of put pork into the, you know, give someone something good so that they vote for you. You know,
pork
they're like,
pigs.
Oh, we like that guy. Like, you know, I think a good example is like the Gillard government did it with that election. They put the NBN into a couple of tight seats, you know, so
we've got in Queensland, we have the election happening on, I think it's the 31st or one of the last Saturday of the month, so Queensland state election. So
I think it's actually a pretty straightforward election. I think the Liberal Party will win, but they shouldn't, because I think people are dumb. They haven't watched too much. I think it's very vital for people to, you know, get out there, vote early, and definitely stay around and hand out some flyers for the team that you support, but just don't make that the LNP.
Or any of the majors, either of the majors.
Well, I think the Labour Party is the lesser of two evils, you know. They're getting paid for by the same people, but do you really, you know, do you want Hitler or Stalin? You kind of want Stalin, don't you? You don't want Hitler.
I like to think we'll have Buddha sometimes, you know. I like to live in hope, and it does get me depressed when it doesn't work out, but I still live in hope.
But I definitely prefer Stalin. Just let's put that on the record. Stalin over
Hitler. Good to know. Yeah. Even though Hitler was supposedly vegetarian.
Yeah.
That's always an anti-vegan response.
I don't know why they say that. It's like, are you trying to say that you're worse than Hitler? Like, it's such a strange thing to say. They're like, we eat meat, we're worse than Hitler.
I think it's like, oh, well, you know, if you're saying I should be vegan and Hitler was vegan or vegetarian, then, you know, that's not cool. And are you supporting that? I don't know. Who knows with all the anti-vegan stuff? I don't know.
I love a good troll. There's actually two websites that we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
I think, or Facebook pages that we'll talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
There's one that gets trolled very regularly, the vegetarians page, which is kind of just for vegetarians, but it converts more vegans than you could imagine. And there's always trolls in there. It's very like very funny to see how many trolls actually look like trolls. They're, you know, there's like, it's very funny to see ugly people trolling people. Hilarious. Like, if you, why would you put yourself in that position where people can pick on you back?
I know, you know? Definitely. There was something just recently I read some articles online, because I work in social media marketing, know a lot about online stuff. And there was an article about how more men actually will comment or will troll than women do. And I'm not sure about that.
I don't think that would be... I would imagine that's the case. Like, in 90... I would have thought it's just men.
Yeah.
You know? Because otherwise, it's kind of... Like, a lot of women will have, like, put... like negative comments, but ones that they kind of back up with their own opinion. Mm. Whereas trolling's kind of just having a go, you know, like just making fun of something that they like, they might not necessarily even disagree with. Yeah. You know,
like when people just write bacon on on vegan videos or something.
It's
and
funny,
you're just like
everyone likes smoked food. Like smoked fatty food's awesome. Like we get that you like bacon, but you know. You can have olives, smoked olives, tastes great.
And it's just not funny anymore. We've been hearing it for quite a few years. Actually, I've been vegan for 18 years as of this month, January 2015. So that's been a long time. What about you? How long have you been vegan?
I literally don't know. I was like, because I lived in my parents' house. My parents are very, very traditional, you know, meat and three veg kind of family, so... I was vegetarian and vegan, or maybe not necessarily vegan as much, but I think I definitely started having soy coffee when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe sometime around there, maybe earlier, but definitely vegetarian. A lot, or even if I did eat meat for some time, I was vegetarian curious, and I'd normally eat, say, just the vegetarian parts of the meal.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Maybe eat the same and then give the steak to my dad. I can't really remember. It's something that I was kind of ashamed of for a while. I didn't realize that it was something that later on in life I'd be proud of.
Isn't that funny how things change?
No. But it's not necessarily like something to be proud of. It's a very, very simple, you know. But yeah, something that I was definitely ashamed of. Just growing up in an environment where it wasn't necessarily ever going to be supported. Like both my parents are very supportive of it. But it's funny how things change.
And so what made you become proud of it?
I don't know, I think acceptance. People are kind of shy about something. It's like, you know, when you're 14, you're the only person that wanks in the world, you know, like you don't realize that other people do, and it's not till later on in life that you can go, well, yeah, you know, everyone does it. If you don't, you're crazy.
And I guess maybe also, like, finding like-minded people is always helpful, especially with vegan stuff.
Yeah, I feel the internet really made that very simple, very easy to get information, and, yeah, very, very, very different now than what I'd imagine it would have been back in the, you know, Peter Singer days, where he was kind of like, it was only really that book, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and, like, animal liberation in... you know, Australia and some of the earliest sort of pioneers of the movement, like, there wasn't much happening for the large majority of people, and there was only, I guess it's still the same thing now, there's still only a small amount of people who actually do a lot of work for the movement.
Mm.
But I guess there's a lot more ways to get the message out.
Yeah.
Which is helpful.
It seems like now it's kind of, those people are very, like not productive, you know what I mean, like kind of counterproductive to veganism, where they're kind of they love it so much, and they feel it so deep within themselves that they feel the need to criticize people that aren't.
Yeah,
and
definitely
very hurtful.
Mm.
It's particularly now, there's like we might as well talk about it now, the two Facebook
groups.
Yeah.
So one's a closed group and one's an open group. So tell me about them. You've got Vegans in Australia, that's the closed group, and a European page called Vegetarians.
Yeah, so the Vegans in Australia seems to be very negative, and people just having very strong opinions about stupid shit that we kind of all agree on. Like, you know, people only tend to argue about the 2% they disagree on,
yeah.
You know? Like, the difference between being a feminist and a humanist is... I don't know, maybe like some dogmatic things or like some strange tautology that's in either one. But the things that really separate them is really just the name, you know, and there's a lot of arguing in between the two.
Yep.
And I think this is something very similar where everyone's, you know, kind of on the same page, but, you know, one guy might support Peter and one guy might really hate it, you know, and they'll argue for like 50 comments or 60 comments.
And what about, is it like abolitionist versus welfarist as well? I always see that argument come up a lot.
Oh, I don't necessarily think these people are smart enough or that involved. They kind of...
So what are the things you see come up all the time then? What you say there's a lot of negativity and argument. Like, is there a thing that comes up all the time?
People maybe not being as vegan as possible. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you can only be a certain... Like, 99% vegan's not vegan, right? You know? But, like, I don't think 101% vegan's any more vegan. And it's just, like, really... I don't know, the same things, you know, like people with pets is a big contentious issue, and just people just not being supportive of each other.
Yeah.
The other page, so that's the vegans of Australia,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of, I've seen a lot of people leave that, and a couple of people that, not necessarily that I'm friends with, but people that I became friends with by just agreeing with them on the page, of like everyone on there is an idiot, you know, and...
lot of non-vegan people who I've heard from that were on that page that just went there for a bit of education that said that they left the page and they don't want to be vegan because of that and certain people that were on it, which is really sad.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you about this off air and then we can decide whether we'll talk about it next week.
So tell me about the other side of the coin then, the positive one from Europe.
The vegetarians page is like, I don't know, I think most of the people that come on there as vegetarians, or they come on there to get information, maybe they're not even vegetarian yet, and they come on for recipes or some shit, they become vegetarian, and then they become, you know, later on in the time, they might become vegan, you know, and it's just a really, really, really positive page, and I encourage everyone to get on there, and there's great recipes, even like some of the recipes that I see on here that have egg or dairy, like really simple things to substitute, and people will get on there and say, instead of going, oh, you're a fucking baby killer, I can't believe you're eating cheese, which would be something that might happen on the other page, they go, you know, you could use this, like almond milk or something, and that's then cool. The person will try it, and you know, it's kind of like just gives you a lot more options when people are a little bit nicer.
And sounds like more education.
Yeah, more education, and, you know, it's all the same stuff. Like, everyone hates fur, so everyone can kind of rally around the fur issue, and they can rally around, you know, mistreatment of animals, and, you know, there's kind of other things that they can kind of, we can all work together on, and, yeah, it's difficult when people post something in a different language and it's got to get translated via Bing.
Oh, yeah. Because you get maybe most of it.
Yeah.
I found out yesterday that in Europe, like 80% of people are on Facebook. Like a massive amount of people are on Facebook.
But I figured everyone's on Facebook anyway.
Well, most people are, I guess, nowadays. But, like, all the other social media channels, like, really low percentages. Like, something, like, ridiculous, like, 8% of people are on Twitter. In Europe,
really?
For example, yeah.
I'm on Twitter, but I never use it. I never check it. I never, just because it's not interactive, you know, it's kind of hard to get involved in it. Like, I literally don't give a shit about half the things that people say about on Facebook.
I guess it depends what you share or who you follow, don't you think?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's why I haven't been interested in Twitter, because it's just not good.
Well, I really like Twitter because it's very, like, I'm a bit of a scanner or a speed reader, so I can just go, oh yeah, I like that, and I open up, you know, 20 tabs or something silly. But, you know, that's just more interesting for me, and I feel like I can engage with a lot of people as well, like you just at them, or and especially hashtags as well.
Yeah.
So it just depends. Well, what you're
hashtags into. Are a big thing at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, well, it's just a way to get involved with something like, you know, the Queensland election, for example, one of their hashtags.
What's the main one? AusPoll, is that it?
That's what it was for the Australian national elections a couple years ago. But I would say it'd be like QLD votes, hashtag QLD votes. I don't know that as a fact though, but yeah, something like that, I'd say.
Yeah. It's so collect. If do they interact through the hashtag?
Yes, you can definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So it's so hard to like, because you know it's people on two different teams who've already made up their mind.
Yeah.
You know, they're like trying to convince people, and they're like, "Oh, I love the LNP." They're like, "I love the ALP."
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like some little guy. I like the Greens.
There's definitely a lot more trolling on Twitter, like because you have, especially with like well-known people. It's just such an easier way to interact with them, and there's a lot of people that have a lot of hate online.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
But you know, if you disagree with someone, sticking it to them in a public forum is amazing.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
Yeah, and particularly, even if, like, I think a lot of trolling stems out of jealousy, you know, so it's nice to, if you're jealous of something, it's really nice to get it off your chest, you know? Like, even if they don't realise that's what they're doing.
But then, I don't know, like, I've heard of a few, I can't remember who it was, but someone was talking about they actually went through and responded to tweets, and they said, oh, hey, like, I really don't like it when you say this or something, and the person would go, oh, wow, you actually responded to me, and they sort of would change their tune a bit. I don't know how many people have the time to do that, but, yeah, sometimes it works, but most of the time, not so.
Yeah, I can't imagine Tom Cruise responding to you, definitely.
I can't.
Don't worry about him. He's got 8 people working on Twitter for him.
But so Chris, you're in... did you want to say anything more about those groups?
Oh, no. I think maybe if you get on there and check them out, then we can...
I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on Facebook personally anymore. I just run my pages and some clients' pages, but I don't have time for groups because, yeah, like you said, it's mostly negative, and I just don't really care what most people's opinions are with certain things, you know?
Yeah, maybe you guys can all check this out. Indian Parent Forum, there's a wedding pickle. That sounds amazing. 5-minute instant mango wedding pickle.
What's that?
A wedding pickle, a pickle that you have at your wedding, some kind of pickles. You know, Indian pickles are the best.
Like chutney sort of thing.
Yeah, like a pickle.
Yeah. Okay. Something different.
Mm.
So, Chris, you're in Japan.
Yes.
In Osaka.
Yep.
Why'd you go there?
My girlfriend's Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
We have a baby. We want to raise the baby in a nice environment. It's very cheap to live here. And everyone's very nice and it's very safe.
Mm.
And I think there's a lot of options in life here, you know. It seems very controlled, but if you, like, think outside of the controlledness, I think, you know, there's a lot of options in life in Japan. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the main reason.
Cool.
And I certainly didn't come here for the food.
Because I was going to say, a couple of our mutual friends, so one of our friends, Jeremy, also known as Jeremy Staples, he's been to Japan before, and he was talking about a restaurant guide that he knew about. And another friend, Nigel, is going over to Japan today, actually. He leaves with his girlfriend, Christina. And he was asking for some advice. So I hooked him up with you and Jeremy to give him some tips. And you didn't really have that many tips.
Yeah, well, I think Jeremy is much more positive about the vegan situation in Japan. It's just, the problem is even if it looks like it's vegan and you can read the labels, there's a pretty good chance that they didn't include a lot of ingredients, you know? So they don't have the laws like we have in Australia where everything has to be stipulated for allergic reactions or whatever. I think it's for allergic reactions.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's for religious reasons. But in Japan, they don't have that, so they might say dashi, and dashi is like a fish stock, and we were talking about this before, and dashi is stock, it just means stock,
mm-hmm.
So it could be fish stock, it could be totally vegan, but you know, you never know, because they say dashi, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just a hard place, there's a lot of like you're kind of stuck eating a lot of rice dishes, or there's a lot of things that are 100% vegan except for, you know, something that's not, you know what I mean? Like they're 99% vegan, they add something in there that doesn't need it for flavor.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
And what's bonito flakes?
Bonito flakes are like just dried fish.
Okay.
Like, yeah, really disgusting. Looks like fish, you know, you feed fish.
Oh, like, yeah. The flakes.
Tank with the little flakes.
Yeah.
Really gross, but really popular.
Mm. And then what's QP mayonnaise? Is that just a brand or QP?
Oh, did I mention that? Yeah, QP mayonnaise, like, you can buy it in Australia. It's like this mayonnaise, it's real thick and people love it, but yeah, it's everywhere. It's like it's like a whole egg mayonnaise if you remember from when you were a kid.
I never would have had mayonnaise when I was younger.
Very, very, very popular in Japan.
Is it like what they'd have at the sushi train?
Yeah, that exact mayonnaise? Same. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's other brands. Yeah. There's no other brand. So, like, that's the popular. QP mayonnaise is, like, the popular one.
And so it's pretty hard, I guess, to live a vegan in Japan, is it? Or you just do a heap of your own cooking?
A heap of your own cooking. Mickey is making gyoza tonight. And we, like, eat a lot of rice, and there's these things called natto. Do you know natto? It's like
The fermented, like, miso or something?
Yes, fermented soybean. It's, lovely. It smells horrible. Tastes incredible. Yeah. And I ate a lot of that, a lot of miso soup, without dashi, obviously, and a lot of, I don't know, a lot of rice. There's not really many places. Oh, there's a pizza shop, an amazing pizza shop. One of the, like, top 10 pizzas that I've ever had.
Wow.
And, like, just delicious sauce. You know the secret to a good... I don't really want this getting out, because if people aren't Italian, they might not know this already, and I don't want everyone opening up a pizza shop, but the secret to a good pizza is use pasta sauce on the base, right?
Mm.
And they do it, and they do it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I love going to that pizza. We actually went there today. A good salad, just perfect balance of flavor.
What about the bass? People say that it's all about the bass. Oh, that's a song. That was so funny.
Who says that?
It's all about the bass. I don't know. Some people say that.
Yeah. Well, as long as it's not thick, cakey. Because, you know, there's only one kind of pizza base, right? So a pizza base is yeast, flour, water, and something else. So if you put milk and egg in it, it's a cake. Right?
Mm.
So you can only, like, a pizza base is only pizza base if you, it's a cake if it's got milk and eggs in it.
Mm.
Mm.
But like,
you ask a chef, that's a fact. Ask vegan black metal chef, he'll tell you.
We'll have to have him on one time.
maybe he could do a pizza episode. That'd be great.
Yeah, I don't know if he has done one yet. We'll get that to happen. So for example, Mandala Organic Arts Cafe, that I think is the best pizza in the world.
Is that the one down the Gold Coast?
Down the Gold Coast, yeah. I think that's the best one in the world.
Yeah, and that doesn't make my top 10.
They have quite, maybe, not, yeah, I'd say probably a thick base. And then there's a new place, you probably haven't been to it, I think it might have opened since you've been in Japan. It's called Seoul Natural Foods, the Seoul Breads people.
No, I haven't been there, but I've seen photos and that pizza does look good.
It's like a really thin base and it's just got a bit thicker around the edges. That's very good.
Yeah, it's that style. That's a pizza base.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem is with that though, and I think the reason in Australia we're very used to pizzas that hold the topping, you know?
This one, the topping all falls out. I was just there Thursday.
Yeah, if you lift it up, the pizza flops over like this.
Yeah.
That's what pizza base is meant to be like.
It is? Oh, okay, so it's good then. Yeah.
Yeah. But Mandela's really in your top. You reckon that's the best one ever?
Oh, yeah, I love it. Because I'm not a cheese fan. Like, I've never liked cheese. And even as a vegan, I don't like many vegan cheeses. But they make their own cashew cheese or nut cheese. So I like that. And it's just a bit more healthier or not as, like, let's just smother it all with daya cheese or mozzarella cheese or something. So I like that aspect.
I'd go nuts for a day of cheese. You can't buy a day of cheese in Japan. Is it Red Rock or
Redwood? Like
Redwood, is that
the brand from the UK of like the sausages and that?
You can't buy that in Japan. Like nothing. You can't buy textured protein of, you know...
textured vegetable protein, yep, TVP.
Yeah, like, it's very difficult to buy stuff. However, tofu is very cheap, like 17...
Oh, that's good.
So, it's like, it's probably one-tenth of the cost in Australia.
Wow.
Is what it is, right? It's very cheap.
I love that in Asian countries, like, you just go to the market and they just wrap it up in a banana leaf for you or something. It's like 50 cents or something, and you're like, yes.
Yeah, very, very cheap. So, I ate a lot of tofu, obviously. Rice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's really not much to talk about. Jeremy was much more positive about the thing. So the couple of vegan restaurants that I have been to, one is way overpriced and I never went back. I hate paying, like, you know, if you go somewhere and you pay, like, Kuan Yin, I know it's shutting down, but you kind of, you go back there because it feels like you get your money's worth.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? Like, this place, I won't mention its name, but I don't feel like you get your money's worth there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, very small portions and...
That is annoying. Yeah.
Not delicious enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's big and not that delicious, you kind of feel not that ripped off. But if it's small and not delicious, yeah.
Definitely. So, but, we were talking about the vegan cheese options there, though. You said there's some options. Yeah.
No. The two places that I've been to that have cheese...
They make their own?
One's in Fukuoka. So that's a long way away, and they kind of have bento boxes or some shit, and they have cheese. But the other one was actually from that restaurant that I don't go back to.
Mm-hmm.
They use rice cake. So it's like a lovely creamy texture, and I saw you smile just then, but it like totally works. And I think if it was like a rice cake cashew based cheese, very delicious. I really want, if anyone does watch this, I'd love to get a recipe for, you know, soup mate. I heard that you can make vegan
soup
cheese mate. Soup. Yeah, you know soup mates, like one of those things on television. It's like a blender that heats up in soup.
Like a thermomix type thing, but
yeah, exactly, like a thermomix. Yeah, and I heard you can make a vegan cheese in the soup mate.
Yeah, definitely. But, if anyone knows, let us know their recipe.
Yeah.
And so I just want to clarify, you're saying this vegan cheese is made from nuts and rice cakes.
Oh, actually, I don't know the exact recipe, but it tastes like the cashew cheese, you know, exactly like the cashew cheese, except she told me that they use rice cake.
Wow, and can you get nutritional yeast in Japan?
No, Mickey bought it back from Australia for me.
Oh, lucky.
And actually, I ordered some online from the States for like $13 delivered.
That's alright.
So it's about the same price as what it is in Australia.
Yeah, yes. So you were talking before that Jeremy actually was a bit more positive with his advice, and he actually advised Nigel to check out the Japan Vegan Restaurant Guide that was actually released in 2010, and he said there's updates on the website, and this is the website, vegan, -, so two hyphens in a row, japan.blogspot.com.au.
It comes up if you put it into Google.
What, the name? Japan Vegan Restaurant Guide?
I put Japan Vegan and then it came up.
Oh, cool. So, yeah, it's easy to find.
Herwin's Vegan Japan?
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Yeah. So, Jeremy was saying the guide's pretty good. I'm not sure if you can buy it anymore because it's, 5 years old now. But if you go to that website, they have actually updated it a lot, and they'll tell you what's good and what's bad. But I remember Nigel saying something to me that it's hard to find places because of the street. You can't find street names, or even if it's meant to be on the level you're at, but it could be underneath.
Yeah.
So have you found that sort of stuff happen?
No. Mickey reads Japanese. She's Japanese, so...
That's easy.
She's pretty good at finding shit. And it's all grid pattern, so I'd say just Jeremy went to the wrong spot. Like, it's kind of difficult to get your head around the... instead of it being a street and one street having a number from 100 to... You know, from 0 to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of... It's in a block, you know? So, like, block 16, like... house 5 or house 5 on block 16,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's kind of the way it works. Instead of it being, you know, a long street, it's kind of done by block.
Is there any order within the block?
No, not really.
Okay, yeah.
Mickey's shaking your head. I think yes, because my house is next door to my house is 6 and it's next door to 7, so I kind of think
but
it is.
Maybe but not always.
Yeah, maybe. Apparently it's done by the way the order was built in.
Oh,
you know?
Wow,
a block
okay.
16 yeah. and like one house went up first, so like that house was built first. So if you're a postie, imagine that.
That'd be horrible.
Yeah, that's why they will go crazy. Yeah. But Japan's definitely like a great place to come, but don't come here on a food holiday. You
yes.
know, bring vitamins.
Yeah, don't come for the food. Come for you just were there snowing with your family over Christmas, weren't you? So
yeah.
people can go there for snowing, snowboarding, skiing.
Yeah,
I mean, sorry.
Yeah, it's actually a very like it's a very natural place. Does that make sense? Like it's city, but they've got pretty good like you know Brisbane's kind of sprawled out and like you might be kind of in a forest, but some dickhead built their house there. You know? But in Japan, it's very much like the city end is the city end, and you know, the hill starts, and there's definitely, I don't know, very like decent town planning around, like not intruding into natural areas like there
That's
is in
good.
Australia.
Yeah,
I think especially around the area you're in, where
yeah.
there's it's very built up to like right up to the border of say, I don't know, whatever that. Natural park, whatever that park is, just near you.
Like the Daisy Hill Forest? That
Daisy
one?
Hill
yeah.
Forest, and the
yeah.
one over the back, is it Venman's? It's like farmland built right up to the fence.
It could, yeah, I know what you mean, I can't think of the name.
Yeah, it's like a chicken farm right on the fence
yeah.
of a natural area, you
yeah.
know? Like, it's just very offensive.
Yeah, there's been so many complaints about that chicken farm, actually, like the odour and the local MP, the independent MP, she's been doing a lot of work, but it's actually in I was sort of on the outs, like on the edge of Logan and Brisbane, like the councils. So this is actually in Brisbane Council, so it's really hard to get stuff done because it's affecting a lot of people in Logan, but it's actually it's based in Brisbane. So lots of dramas with that one.
Yeah, I always wondered if they were gonna when. I think it was Peter Beattie bought in the super councils.
Yeah.
Is that the super areas? I was always wondering if they were going to have, like, public liaison officers to work in between the councils, and they obviously didn't. It's kind of something you'd just expect from, like, a Labor government that also, you know, bureaucratically heavy, you know? I think it would have been a smart idea to have something like that.
Well, even, like, the one of the streets called Priestdale Road, half of it's Logan, half of it's Brisbane. So
yeah.
if, you know, some there's all potholes and sometimes half of it will be okay because Logan's looked after it or the other half will be okay because Brisbane's looked after it. But, you know, just little things like that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, well. I think Australia, politics in Australia is a very difficult kind of thing because there's so much riding on like the politics in Australia. I think a lot of the LNP people don't get in there with the right idea. You know, like, a lot of the Labour guys get in there and they think they're going to make a change for the better, but a lot of the times, LNP candidates are, you know, kind of hacks from, you know, university. They're, like, tie-overs from young libs. They're not necessarily as successful as their peers, and they get into politics to kind of, you know, like, knock down some doors for their, you know, their friends. Like, obviously, there's, like, a big sell-off at the moment. They're trying to sell... I don't know, whatever public's like publicly owned infrastructure, they're trying to sell it off at, you know, a bargain basement price to a like a rich conglomerate that, you know, should like either be kind of improving the thing, but they won't improve it. They'll make it, you know, more profitable, which would be, you know, a loss of jobs and, you know.
Or just leasing them for 100 years.
Yeah, I think it's very, very disappointing. You know, the toll road was a publicly owned thing and they turned it into a publicly owned corporation and now people can buy into the toll road. So you know that toll road's gonna be a toll road forever.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
instead of it being put back into the common space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how they get you, isn't it? They say, oh, we're gonna have this toll road and then in 2 years time we'll pay it off, but they never get rid of the toll road. So I think there's only one place in the Sunshine Coast that the toll road actually was gotten rid of because of like local people demanding it.
Yeah.
But I don't know many other toll roads I think that's the only one I know of, to be honest, that's being stopped because of pressure from locals.
Yeah. Well, in Japan, they have just permanent toll roads, and it costs like $9.30 to travel 70 km on a toll road. $9.30.
Whoa.
It's unbelievable.
That's ridiculous.
Like, yeah, it cost me to go 257 km. Cost me $68 in toll. Like on a sale, like I can't believe it. When I was paying for it, I was like, "This is crazy." And like you could take the back streets, but it'll take you a day and a half. You know, you end up burning more in fuel. So
that's like Australian dollars when you're saying that costs that much.
Yeah, I'm converting because I paid for it on my Australian card.
Mm.
So yeah, definitely
that's very painful.
Very very expensive. So
missing? What are you missing in Australia or in Western cultures?
I think the food and a lot of the other stuff that I say might sound culturally insensitive. Japanese people are very polite.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure people have told you that before. So
yep.
Their politeness can sometimes be very, very rude because instead of them just telling you the truth and like you being able to fix something, there's a lot of communication problems that I'm having because they won't tell me something that I should... Like, I should just know,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, yeah, I kind of find there's a couple of cultural barriers that are kind of difficult to deal with. Not because they're trying to be bad people, but just very difficult cultural, like, cultural norms in Japan that I don't think would be normal outside of East Asia, you know? Yeah.
You might need some more light on your face, Chris. You're getting a bit black or dark.
Oh, sorry, it's getting nighttime.
Yeah.
Quarter to five. Believe it or not, about a month ago, we're halfway through winter now.
Yeah.
About a month ago, yeah, it's better, but
thanks, Mickey.
About a month ago, at 4:36, the sun went down. Now, it's
really?
Like, yeah.
Oh wow. That's
maybe crazy. It's just something I'm only noticing now that I'm older, but
could be.
Yeah. I've never really tracked the sun. Maybe because of the Weather Channel app, I check what time the sun's coming up. So I know what time to get out of bed. So.
Oh, because you're getting up earlier because of your little baby.
Nah, she wakes us up when she wants to and then goes back to sleep.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Last year, Chris, let's talk about a few vegan things that happened maybe last year in your life or in general.
Well, I think you might have to educate me, obviously. I used to really care about that stuff and stuff that was very important, but I don't know. I think, you know, I've just had it like for so long. I'm not necessarily as interested in little tiny advances. So you might have to educate me.
Well,
through
I
the
guess
start.
Like we were saying before, like probably one of the biggest or massive things that I've seen is like how big veganism is in Israel and how many people are adopting it. Like. At least half of the population supposedly vegan or vegetarian, and there was a girl on Big Brother, from Israel Big Brother, who spoke and was and actually had the stuff that she said filmed and viewed by so many people about veganism and animal rights. And the
but it goes deeper into like Israel is a religious state, right?
Mm.
So. They have a thing called kosher food, obviously. I'm sure everyone
mm-hmm.
knows about kosher food. So I think a lot of kosher, like things that are kosher are kind of loopholes in the system.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think particularly for the three big religions, I think maybe some of the things that they've kind of found loopholes in the past. Loopholes?
Yeah.
Is that the best? Yeah. I don't know whether that sounds offensive. But they've kind of found like a dogmatic loophole for, say, eating meat. If, like, one of them, they have to kill an animal in a certain way to make it, like, actually, like, biblically or Toranically or Koranically correct, it, you know, is kind of much crueler than what it would be if it was killed outside of that.
Yeah,
so I
definitely.
Think a lot of people are kind of being enlightened to the idea of, you know, maybe their religion is... You know, got a couple of rules in there that shouldn't have been, you know, loopholed around.
Yep.
But maybe not. I could be totally wrong. I'm really anti-religion, so I've kind of always kind of clung on to that. Like, do you really think your God would want you eating meat?
Mm.
So I could be totally wrong. I'm sure that we could get a vegan rabbi, to come on and explain why it's okay to eat kosher meat. But
Yeah.
Well, maybe not on a Saturday. We'll have to do it on a different day.
Well, I think it's... I know a lot of people have said that guy... Oh, I've just forgotten his name. That guy who did, you know, the best vegan speech ever, Gary Yourofsky. He... I don't know if you've seen it, but it's like a massive success online in particular, and it's been translated to 21-plus languages. So
really?
It has the potential to actually reach so many more people. So he has been to Israel quite a lot, because I believe he's a supporter of a lot of Israel ideals. And so he goes there a lot, and he has a lot of supporters because of that.
What's Israel ideals?
I don't really know too much about it to get into it, but I do also know there was...
He's a supporter of the state of Israel?
I don't know enough about him to say, but I think so. I believe that. And so there's a lot of people that, you know, follow him, and he's been interviewed quite a lot on TV, and he's got a lot of mainstream media from it. So he's really promoted veganism, and in particular animal rights, to Israel, which is pretty good.
Wow.
And even their army, like, has leather, non-leather boots, and serves vegan
non-leather boots you can choose from, or non-leather boots as a rule?
Not sure about that. But I think
it makes sense. Like, you know, it's meant to be a peaceful, like, you know, pacifist religion. It makes sense to not kill an animal for your food. That's not very, you know, it's not very pacifist.
Yeah, that's true.
Not pacifism.
And definitely there's a little...
I sound really ignorant talking about this, because I'm trying not to be rude. I really hate all the religions, so... I'm trying not to be rude. I think there's a lot of scope in religion for good, but I think it's a very bad thing. And I think, yeah, you know, particularly we're talking about Israel. I think, you know, they have a lot of like regional policies that are very, like, very aggressive. And I think being vegan's, you know, wonderful, but there's other things in their society that they should be doing along with that to change a lot of the things. My baby's crying. It's all right.
It's all right. there is a bit of backlash about Israel adopting a vegan diet as well. And one of them, especially with the army embracing a few vegan sort of things, there's still an army in Israel. Army, so a lot of people do have issues with that as well.
Yeah, so everyone has to join the army. You know that, right? Yeah, everyone does. It's like,
oh wow, I didn't know that.
It's not a draft. It's like you, for whatever time, you join the army in Israel.
Wow. Okay. And so I guess this year I've noticed.
That's not like. So, you know, at the moment in Australia, and I think around the world, with the Charlie Hebdo thing, people are kind of very down on, like, certain parts of religions, you know, but they're not willing to address the overlying thing. So I think there's a lot of really good Jewish people, there's a lot of really good Muslim people, but I think we need to have a debate outside of political correctness, where we can say, you know, there is some things that you guys could address, and things that need to be addressed within your religion before you kind of try and, you know, force it upon the rest of us. And it really is, like, particularly coming from Australia, where I went to a Catholic school and religion was very forced upon us.
Mm.
You know, like, even though from a very young age, like, I believed in Santa Claus much longer than the idea of Jesus. Like, Jesus walking on water and shit's totally ridiculous, but obviously Santa Claus was giving me something, so I kind of had that little tiny bit more faith, you know, that he made it.
I went to a Lutheran high school as well, so yeah, it was forced on me through my school.
And your last name, Kosh, are you German?
It's a German name, but my dad's family's Polish.
All right, and you went to a Lutheran school.
Yeah, well, it was the closest school to where we just moved, when we moved here from Bougainville Island in Papua New Guinea, so, yeah.
You know how to spell Bougainville?
How you spell Bougainville Island, where I'm from, is like the Bougainvillea, B-O-U-G-A-I-N-V-I-L-L-E, Island.
Yeah.
But not like the Bogan, B-O-G-A-N, that is an Australian sort of term for maybe white trash people, I guess.
A chav.
Yeah. A chav, yeah. Mm-hmm.
A honky.
Honky, I don't know that one. Where's that from?
Cracker.
Okay.
No, I don't know. I googled something about Bougainville just recently. So, you know, Papua New Guinea have a bit of a, what's the word? They're kind of, notoriety? Is it notoriety?
What's the, kind of infamous
for, the, like, eating humans? You know,
yeah,
they had
certain tribes,
like,
in certain areas.
Yeah, they had
cannibalism. Yeah.
And you know, they call that long pig. They call the human long pig.
Ah.
Did you know that?
Well, you know.
Yeah, I learned that.
That's interesting because pigs, I learned in college, naturopathy, nutrition, and Western herbal medicine, that pigs are actually anatomically exactly the same as humans. If you lift them up, like with their legs, everything's exactly the same as humans.
Really?
Yeah. That could be why. There we go. We've all learned something today.
Long pig. I won't tell you where I got that from. All your feminist friends will be very angry at me. But yeah, long pig is like a, very interesting way to describe a meat that tastes like, you know, tastes like pig. And maybe that explains why some of the religions don't eat,
Well, I thought it was because of the hooves. Pigs have hooves, like the devil.
Yeah.
Or something. Could be wrong, but that's what I thought.
How do you know pigs don't, the devil doesn't have cow feet?
I don't know, I'm just going with what has been passed down for generations of what people think of certain things. I'm anti-organized religion too. Hey?
Yeah, but you're very spiritual.
Yeah, I definitely...
You believe there's something there, right?
I like to believe in the universe. That's probably about it. For me, because I can see it. I can see the, you know, tides change, the moon phases, and how it affects things and people. So that's what I see. But I like to believe in the good of everyone. I don't understand why people need someone to tell them how to act or how to act in a proper way. Like, I don't understand why people can't go, I'm going to be the best version of myself today. I'm going to help people, and that's it because of my life now. Take responsibility, do it now, instead of maybe getting something special when you die.
Yeah, sounds fair.
But yeah, I don't really put labels on things, I guess, or try not to.
That sounds to me like you've been listening to too much Deepak Chopra.
Me? No, I haven't.
Anyway, what's the next topic?
The next topic. Oh, I was going to talk about all the different food things that have been happening this year. For example, the paleo diet.
Oh yeah, that's for dickheads.
Is that big in Japan?
No, I don't. I haven't seen it. I certainly haven't seen it. But it definitely is for dickheads. I can't imagine. I'm not a scientist, so. But you should definitely look at the reasons why we cook foods and. The reason we cook certain foods, and I just don't know enough about it. I just know that all the people that are into it, in my opinion, are dickheads. So
there seems to be a lot of people who are very focused on being fit or like bodybuilding or working out, and they get information from their personal trainer. I know quite a few people who their personal trainer's on paleo, so they become on paleo. And you know, personal trainers don't have much nutritional training whatsoever. So
chicken rice.
Yeah, so I think that's a bit of a worry. But you know, there are some positives to it. There's no like processed stuff, no sugar, no eggs. No dairy. Is it eggs or dairy? I think it's dairy. But you know, they're the positives, and there's a lot more negatives, I think, to it.
Mm. Yeah. But there's. I just don't understand how getting eating animals that are vaccinated was part of the happened back in the Paleolithic period.
Yeah.
You know?
And how
Paleolithic? Well,
sounds right.
I don't know. Could I really should learn these words before we do a podcast.
But, like, I guess, and, you know, where would they get their meat? They're not going to raise all their animals and then, you know, serve them at their cafes. Like, that would just be from the supermarkets where they would be getting all the animal products, which would be...
I'd say they get organic meat, I think.
Really? I don't know about that.
But there's a couple of strange rules, particularly in Australia. I'm not sure about the rules in Japan or anywhere else in the world, but for something to be labelled organic, it has to meet, like, certain criteria, and it doesn't necessarily mean they're not vaccinated, they're not fed, you know, genetically modified foods. That it just means that they've, like, met certain criteria in the rearing process. Yeah. You know,
it's
so
pretty scary.
It's not if you're buying organic food, it doesn't mean that it's organic. You know, like it's if you buy natural food, like I know you can buy apples and stuff that are naturally produced and they're not sprayed with pesticides, mm-hmm. but they might be sprayed with, you know, I think they can spray, you know, like a natural thing, or they can have lavender or something in the trees that scares off certain bugs or whatever, and yeah, but definitely buying organic, you're an idiot if you pay for that shit.
Really? There's a lot of people who are very big on the organic stuff, you know? But better you haven't soil. Met...
Sorry?
Better soil, like the growing conditions and stuff like that.
Yeah, but like you're paying so much for the actual, for the label of organic. And I feel
in
really
Australia,
stupid talking
definitely.
About this, but I think like naturally produced food is very, like, very good.
So what are you hoping to achieve in 2015?
This year, me and my girlfriend are building a guest house, so something similar to a backpackers, but it's actually, I think it's illegal to have a backpackers here, or it's very difficult to get a permit for it, it's called a guest house, essentially it's a backpackers,
mm-hmm.
but it's called a guest house. It's going to be called, we're doing, like, initially we're just doing, like, a pop-up backpackers,
mm-hmm.
you know, pop-ups are very popular at the moment, so...
Even in Japan?
Well, people coming to Japan is popular for them. not necessarily popular in Japan, but like it's a real backpackers, and we're building it in a real space, in a permanent space. But like it's kind of a little bit ad hoc because we definitely don't know what we're doing. It's the very first time we've done anything like this, so we're kind of running it under a different name until we really know what we're doing. We kind of want people to have a good experience, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of backpackers get, doesn't matter what happens, people get, you know, a bit nasty online, so particularly if we're not good at it, we'll definitely have it under a different name initially until we get good.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good idea.
So,
and will you have vegan food?
Four letter words.
Hey?
It's going to be called four letter words. Yeah, so kind of a cute name that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with backpackers, I suppose. But, you know, you kind of feel a little bit better after swearing. You know, if you hit your head and you go, oh, fuck. You kind of feel a little bit better, and we hope people will have...
Will you have, like, vegan food there? I know you were talking to me before you left about how you wanted to have, like, vegan... Was it churros and donuts?
Yeah, so... My girlfriend Mickey is building a cafe, or putting together a cafe, but we're going through some stuff for her to get an Australian visa at the moment, so we're kind of putting that on the back burner.
Because she has to come back every 3 months or something, is that right? To Australia?
Yeah, she had to go back in April, so she was here for 3 months, she's been back for two, and she has to go back in April, so... that's kind of on the back burner. So we're not necessarily going to have food, but we'll provide breakfast for them, breakfast for the people staying there, but it'll kind of just be fresh fruit and vegetables. And, you know, a bowl of rice. Rice is very popular in Japan, obviously, and miso soup. So,
that's good.
Yeah, it'll be kind of be accidentally vegan. We're kind of, that's definitely going to be the approach. We're not going to have anything, you know, that like is... in your face vegan, but you know, softly. Someone asks us about it, maybe we'll tell them.
Yeah, that's a good approach, I think. And hopefully Nigel and Christina might get to visit you over there where you are, or
it'd be great if they... I love speaking English, so
then maybe we'll get Nigel on the show later on, and Jeremy, who who we're talking about before. He's over in New Zealand at the moment.
Yeah, it'd be great to get him halfway through the ride.
Oh, halfway through? Okay, well, yeah, we'll try that. And
I think it'd be good to get someone else, like a different opinion on Japan. You know, kind of when you're living somewhere, like if you live in Brisbane, you kind of stuck in your ways, and you see it through the eyes of someone that lives there. So. Yeah. I'm kind of seeing Osaka through the eyes of someone that lives here.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
yeah,
even though I do feel every day like I'm on a holiday, but you know, I kind of go the same way to work.
Yeah.
You know, same way back, and
yeah. Nigel's been there a few times now, and even with Christina, and I think he really loves Japan. So yeah, it'd be good to hear what he thinks, and it'd be good to hear what Jeremy thinks on his 5-week cycling across New Zealand or down and up. I don't know. I actually have no idea which direction he's going, but that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't be riding around New Zealand. Horrible drivers. They're like worse than Victorians. Just horrible, horrible drivers.
Can't be worse than a lot of people like in Indonesia, like Jakarta. They're horrible in there.
Are they?
So much traffic. It's just full on. Too many people, too much traffic, bicycles everywhere, and yeah.
I tend to think of everyone as just a bad driver compared to me.
No,
unless I'm the only person I feel safe with on the road.
Good luck on road trips then, hey.
Yeah.
I think we might wrap it up for the first podcast that we've done, Chris.
Sounds good.
Thank you for joining me, and thank you everyone for listening or watching. LC and CJ Vegan Talks, come up with a better name for us or the podcast.
Yeah, but definitely we'll be much more concise next time. Concise, you know what concise? We'll have brevity on our side, and I'll definitely do more research.
And if you'd like us to speak about a particular topic or...
Or if you want to be on it.
Yeah, let us know. And we'll work it out.
I would love someone to get on there and hate us. You know? and just stick it to us. Because it's the only way we learn, you know?
Careful what you wish for, Chris.
Yeah, I learn much more from trolls than I do from, you know, people that I agree with.
That's true, you know, if you're open-minded and willing to listen to people and they are willing to listen back and you allow each person to speak, you can definitely learn a lot more. I agree.
Yeah. But I also love throwing my hands up in the air and going, what a fucking idiot. So, you know, either way, it's great for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, right. Thank you for tuning in, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
Sounds good. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.